Almost Idea Podcast number 46. How did I get in today? I got in today on a very long road. You can hear this in the background, probably. This chick freaking out. Right? Oh, I don't know what the hell that is about, but anyways. I think it's actually a different girl freaking out out there. But, no co-hosts. I can't blame, Ross for not being here because I can't seem, I don't know what to say. There is not going to be any more Colin on the show. So I want to just break everybody who's a likes to listen to Colin's stuff. I'm sorry, but there's just been... I'd lie to you if I told you it was going to be any more Colin on the show. We just... I'm in his place right now. As you know, I've been kicked out of my place. Got kicked out of... You kicked out of the Comfort Inn.
No, in fact, like, for the most part, we were outside with you. So fire department went in first, obviously, checked nobody that's there, put out the fire, all those good things. And then what we did was we have the remedial people in.
Recording.
Can you please stop?
All right.
Thanks, Shay.
Okay.
Again, all of that conversation, it's out of my hands now. You've got to talk to Jenny or to Don.
So that's a little bit of what that sounded like. And apparently I had residence tenancy rights there. At RTA, I'm just going to close the window here. This chick's freaking out. We just had one here that caused a massive fight between me and my used-to-be friend, Colin Spires. Because I can't... This is what happened, you know. I'm going to vent to you guys. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bitch. You guys want to really know what's going on? The topic today is... holy fuck, is my life ever falling apart? I guess that's what happens when you kick somebody out of their place, tell them there's a fire, and get them to move out. And I guess I was protected under the Residential Tenancy Act, because, which is the BC Act here for residencies and tenancies. Residential Tenancy Act is what I was protected under, because they had moved under the veil of night in the fact that supportive housing, the Comfort Inn and Paul's have now become comfort or supportive housing. And that being means that the people have tenancy rights who live there. They don't know that because no one has been told that they were switched over to supportive housing from transitional housing. It's just a completely veiled tactic, because if they did tell people that, then they know that the people that they want to kick out in this little interim, while people find out about this, they can kick people out at will, pretty much at will. So there's no, and because you don't think that you have, you think that you have 20 minutes to pack, when actually you have arbitration you can go to. So that's the problem. That's what's happening. It's going to be tough to pack. I'm going to do my best. I'm hoping that House Cat's still going to be part of the show. I'm hoping that, this won't be too much of a blow to anybody. I hope it's not. I don't think it will be. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm going to tell you personally what's going on. I'm sitting here in Colin's house. After Ross passed away, Colin and I came back after the memorial. Or, I'm sorry, not after that memorial, but we had first found out. And I'm really upset to say. I mean, this is personal stuff, but I don't care. I have to explain what's going on. And it's part of the gig of falling into homelessness again and having people turn their back on you. I just never thought that it was going to be my bro. You know, I thought that I knew him pretty well, that he understood that homelessness was not something that someone wishes on themselves, especially in this circumstance when I was evacuated for a fire and then kicked out, told that I couldn't come back. Moved around and, you know, met up Michael Hewer. Then they told me that I was evicted there because I wasn't allowed to stay there in the first place, but that was a temporary place that my advocate had arranged. They didn't like that, so they kicked me out of there. And then here I am. I'm staying at my bro's house, who's in supportive housing. And he's feeling the pressures from the supportive housing people here that try and tell them that they're on a program and they can get kicked out within 5 minutes as well. I'm not going to mention any names. It's on them. It's on the people who actually practice this evil that have to be the ones that, you know, bear the shame. I just don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm going to move my stuff back to the Comfort Inn because Melva is allowed to store my stuff. I can store my stuff at her room, right? And then I'm on the street again because my bro is kicking me out because he had to store it back because he just went and beat Sandy Fisher, Warhorse. You know, they beat each other, I should say. Had a roll in the dirt, and he's going and picking fights for people for stupid reasons and selfish reasons and acting like an asshole. And he expects his bros, who are trying to, who are going through their own hard times. And he acted like a real NIMBY, man. I never thought Colin Spires would turn into a NIMBY, but he did. And I ain't bros with a NIMBY, you know. He showed his true colors as far as I'm concerned, and I just can't accept that. I can't have wishy-washy. So how do I feel 2 days before I promised to blockade the bridge? Like a bag of shit, honestly, alone and defeated. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think the blockade's going to happen, and this is the first time I've ever done that. And I had to kind of eat crow on it, so I'm not very happy with that. But maybe we'll still be able to pull it together. I hope so. But if plans of action, if people don't get supported and they don't start supporting these actions, then we're going to just get rolled over by the government constantly. You know, anything they say, we're going to just take. I just didn't think that my generation would be one that was going to be like a completely lay down and die generation. And it's just, we allow the worst atrocities that we go, oh my goodness, what's happening over here? What's happening over there? But what's happening right in your own backyard, you know? What kind of stuff's going on in your own backyard? So just shameful shit, man. Human rights violations all across the board. And in places like, you know, your good old Great White North, Canada, you know? What's happening in the place that's supposed to be prevailing human rights? And it's just not happening. So we're at 7:21. I'm really probably being depressing as hell here. I hope not. Well, I mean, I'm just trying to get you what's going on. And I don't know. I'm going through the death throes of homelessness again. I'm losing my friends. And this is over a really stupid reason. And, you know, I understand stress, but the guy didn't come home for 2 weeks. He left me stay at his place and then, like, let me feel like I was a complete unwelcome troll here. And he knows that we're not supposed to be here when he's not around. Like, he's not having a lot of visitors. So the staff was like, you know, and on me and kind of breathing down my neck a bit. And I was just felt uncomfortable because I don't want any issues with anybody, man. So, I mean, like, I was just, like, trying to stay here and trying to, like, you know, hopefully we got some other things going on that, you know, some options that we're trying to create. And as that happens, you know, a guy needs a few weeks. And you think your buddy who just, he just came off the streets would understand that. But he's obviously, you know, not as understanding as I thought he was once was. And I think our friendship has expired. So, unfortunately, I don't think Colin's going to be coming back. And that's a great blow. Well, not really, because who needs sell out bitches on your show anyways, you know? Fuck them. Anyways, homeless idea. Hope you keep listening and keep bringing you information. You get that? Information. Okay, I'm not very funny. Anyways, homeless idea. Here we go. I'm just sitting here, believe it or not, it's kind of a bit of a chilly June night, rainy, sitting in the parking lot here at the Dollarama with my good friend Leah. It's 1 o'clock in the morning right now, and her and her little dog are sitting outside the Dollarama. We're all here together here, and I ran into her going back to my room, and I've seen Leah out and about. She's an old friend of mine from actually way back camping 3 years ago in Topaz when we first got here. Leo was one of our first neighbors. And we were grateful to have her around because she brought, you know, a smile to our faces and was a good spirit to have around, and she was company, and we helped each other out, and we developed a friendship and became friends. So it was nice to see her again lately. And unfortunately, I hear that there's been some problems. Leah did get some housing, and then she lost that housing. And I'm gonna let Leah tell you about how that's been for her and where she's at with that. How's it going, Leah?
Oh, shitty.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
It's cold.
Yeah, it is. It's cold. It's wet tonight, and it's cold. It's rainy, and it's miserable, actually. And it's been a bit stormy the last couple of days, windy, and temperatures definitely dropped, so it's definitely chilly tonight. And, I mean, you've been out here for how long this time?
6 months.
Since, yeah. And how long were you in indoors prior to that?
Four months.
And you were outside before that, probably, I would say at least, what, a year, year and a half?
Four years.
Yeah. Okay.
Even during that time, being out for 4 years, it took me 3 years before I was, for some reason, allowed to be inside any shelters. It was bizarre to me. I've never experienced anything like it in my life. I mean, I was born and raised on the island here, and...
You're from Victoria, right?
Yeah, born and raised.
I mean, that's the thing that a lot of people don't get, is that there's long-term homeless people that have struggled with homelessness for a long time in Victoria, and that are still from Victoria, and that have been bypassed on two of these housing initiatives, right?
That's another thing is that what I don't, you know, that whole, you know, struggling with homelessness, people get the wrong idea. They figure it's because they, you know, well, she should quit drugs, or she's got a drug problem, or, you know, she's got mental issues. The only mental issue I have is the frustration with, I'm not schizophrenic, I'm not bipolar, you know, I have depression, I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And, you know, the only kind of mental health issue I have is the pure frustration of having complete lack of logic and from
reason.
A to Z of what resources are in place, and by taking those steps, I mean, these places are for, you know, I mean, I'll just cut out a little bit about me, just put it in a nutshell for a prime example. I mean, a man or a woman, they get divorced. A man loses their house. He's not allowed in their house.
Right.
He ends up, his bank accounts are all closed down, shut down. He's waiting to go to court. He's fighting, you know. Now he's stuck. Where does he go? He's depressed. He doesn't want to be around family because there's so much chaos. And
can't be around family, yeah.
Yeah, so he just needs triggers. To try to get his shit together. And places like these are in place for that very reason and for other reasons. And
absolutely.
You come down here, and it's not just because of being on drugs that, you know, are for the reasons of these places, you know. And you come in, and you literally just lost your home. You lost your family. And... you know, you are told that you got to come back the next day to see if you can get in. There's empty beds. There's, you know...
empty rooms.
Yeah, and another thing is...
bureaucracy going on.
Yeah.
You know, and you think that, like, put yourself in a person's situation like that, where, you know, drugs become a coping mechanism, right?
Well, I mean, who in today's society, I mean, there's not... logically, you look around everywhere in everyday society, all levels of life, and if you want to use the word junkie, I mean, we have food junkies, we have car junkies, we have, now, cutting that down, I mean, drugs are being used as such a taboo thing that it's being an excuse to treat subservient person to the level of where our memorandum rights don't exist. People within mental health, for one thing, this is something I need to bring up, is in Canada Insurance, I was inside the Ministry of Social Development and
Housing.
Housing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I am on disability. Normally, I'm a floor layer. My disability is a physical disability. Mm-hmm. I blew my back out picking up too many boxes of tile.
Yeah, you're a hard worker. I've seen you go, and I've seen how you're a trooper. You're an absolute trooper. I mean, you gotta understand. Here's like I'm sitting here talking to Leah, and Leah's a. She's a good-looking young lady, and she's been out here 4 years?
No, 5 years now.
5 years now, and I mean, if you want to talk about, you're how tall? 5'2"? 5'2",
yeah.
Yeah, and you weigh probably, what, 95 pounds, 100 pounds?
No.
Soaking wet?
Probably about 120.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, like, we're talking about a little person here, and she's literally been a warrior and stayed out in the street and by herself, night after night, you know, up and down, you know, the boulevards, the streets, and the avenues, and just trying to figure out, she's, you know, what she's gonna do with her life, and she's literally, it's like she's been cast out, and forgotten.
Well, she's shunned, and more or less. I mean, I have a, you know, any movement that I make towards a positive, and at every step I'm not asking for help. I know the steps I need to take. And then when it gets frustrating to the point where doors are shut in my face, there are resources that are supposed to be there available, like advocacy or
absolutely.
Whatever, seem to be closed in my face. There's so much inside. The people that literally work in these, and mind you, don't get me wrong, I'm not... the people down, but
no, you have every right to be angry. They're bypassing you. They're absolutely forgetting about you.
With people that are mentally unhealthy,
right,
and are also struggling with addiction, people should be not in mental health themselves that are working. They should be, you know, they should be cleared. I think there should be
it's like a psychological test or something.
Yeah, to pass, to be able to work with people.
Yep.
Struggling with that because a lot of it is addiction and mental health ever since those hospitals have shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why those hospitals were shut down because these places have turned into almost...
those places.
Yeah, like
yeah,
when
absolutely.
I see these places, I mean, the Comfort Inn is a beautiful place.
Yep.
It is. The sad thing is it, you know, the Super 8 is a shelter. They've turned into like a mental ward
totally.
Hospital, and the amount of medication that is dispensed through there.
Yep.
To me, that's illegal. I mean, you're not dealing with proper.
There's life insurance policies apparently being taken.
Yeah,
out
that's what I was trying to get at.
You know?
I went to go to press charges and start a civil lawsuit action up against Canada Insurance. I had only just recently found out when I went into the Ministry of Social Development that. And the woman literally read it out something about Canada Insurance, and I said, "Excuse me," I said, "Canada Insurance life insurance policy." I said, "Pardon me,"
yep.
I said, "I have no awareness. I have not. No one has come to me. No one
right.
has. I've signed nothing. And not only that, I'm not a ward of the mental health of government.
Right.
I'm, you know, I have complete." My rights mine have not been signed over to the government.
Right.
Like I said, I don't have a mental disabilities. And that's what they seem to use, people seem to use in order to be able to get these life insurance policies. And I was absolutely appalled, not only appalled, but terrified because, you know, they're banking. When you sign certain papers, when you come into certain places, there's, if you read carefully the wording, how they read it, that literally word for word in one section it says, I understand that I have given up my rights to all my heirs, and they spelt it heirs, H-E-R-E,
yeah.
You know, like so that means that when I pass away, any
your belongings. Yeah.
Belongings, and money, RSVPs, and then it also says and has no something rather to my next of kin, and I said, pardon me, I said absolutely not.
Right.
I do not agree with this. I am not acknowledging that I am agreeing to this at all. I am absolutely not giving you my rights
right.
for you to do whatever you want with my basically what it's saying that
right.
you know they'll take care of my my body? And I said, absolutely not. I mean, that's giving. I basically have also signed over my whole banking system to you.
Let me ask you some questions here, Leo. Let me direct some so we can kind of like bring it into focus about what's actually going on for you right now. Like, so I really want to, I want to get the listener to recognize, like, I can edit some of this stuff, right? But I want to get the listener to realize, to hear who we are, and to fucking, like, I want to pull their heartstrings right now. I want to make sure that someone's going to fucking go get that chick inside right now. Yeah. So someone's going to say, I want her inside fucking today.
Yeah.
So I'm really trying to get the heartstrings pulled for you. And just be yourself. Forget the good things even on. Because, like, you're an awesome person. So, like, yeah, that'll shine through in this interview. I know it will. And sometimes, like the conspiracy stuff, like the stuff that's happening, we have to tackle that in a different direction.
So, can I be just straightforward? And
totally, that's what I want you to be.
You know what? So when you say conspiracy, then you know exactly what.
We have to establish the facts of that first. Like, we have to build that up. So people really won't understand.
First off, I'm on Bluetooth on phone. Like, I mean, I have no devices on me. I have no cell phone. That's one thing, Shay, I need to make clear. If you were to walk down the street with me for one day, you will hear on speaker, through the lights, and it's not drug induced or whatever, you can hear the conversation very much so that you and I are having this very moment. People got it cranked up high. I've had radio stations actually literally play games on what drink I'm drinking. Just 3 days ago, I was inside Rocky.
So how does that make you feel when you're out there and you're hearing these things? I mean, you're
hearing
probably...
They're listening to this on somehow. So, yeah. I'm being
heard
somehow.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I understand.
And they've got it turned.
So you're walking around, like, this is you're hearing these things.
And it's not by myself either. People were with me. And I pointed out, and they'd say, Leah, you didn't point that out to me. I would have never even noticed. I thought it was a radio station they were listening. I said, listen, it's us talking right now.
It's just to describe a normal night for you. Like, what's that look like? I mean, when you hear those things, what's your night look like, been like? What's your day like? I mean, what's it? Just describe what goes on in a general day for me.
I leave and go out, I have people that.
Where are you leaving? Like, I mean.
If I'm staying at the Super 8, from the time I leave the Super 8 with Scooby-Doo, the minute I step outside, people's windows are rolled down. I've been called a pedophile. I've been called a derelict. I thought we got rid of all the derelicts.
People are screaming at the windows as they're driving by.
Yeah.
And you're coming from a place where you don't get much rest. You're not washed. You don't feel good. You're not clean.
Yeah, because they have showers there and everything, but they're so... It's not that they're unclean.
I want to kind of leave out the fact that you're staying at the Super 8. Don't mention the Super 8 too much. Because even if you go there to crash out once in a while, you're not actually staying there, right?
Yeah, no, so I'm out on the street.
Yeah, tell that story.
I can't be in there. It's actually a deterioration of your mental health.
So you don't use the Super 8 shelter that's just down on Douglas because they're full right now, is one thing.
Yeah.
And also, too, why?
Well, first, the staff there comprehensible. I mean, they literally, because there are people there that are schizophrenic, they play on that, and it's frustrating for me to see. It's appalling. I can't. They'll stand outside the doors, and they're literally try to antagonize a person to make them go into a psychiatric psychosis.
Right.
And I get infuriated. I'll get right up and I'll go and I'll how dare you do this to a person?
Yeah.
These places are here to have people to try to get better so they can move forward.
And I mean, this is like, you're talking about the shelter here, that I'm not gonna, you know, when we mention any names, but when you're going in there, you don't feel safe around there anyways, because
no.
They pretty much have everybody converge outside of the shelter because they won't let anybody inside of the shelter. So they kind of let everybody pack around, and they come out and they basically, you know, just give you guys reels and kind of pick you off.
Or if staff decides they don't like you, they'll, one...
And I've seen this. I've seen the bullying, yeah.
Yeah, and what happens is they threaten the people, the very people that live there. They're already homeless even in the shelter.
Right.
So they'll threaten them with not being able to stay there.
Eviction.
If they don't do what they say, and if you basically, you know, make sure you make the person's life a living hell,
right.
Otherwise you're not staying here.
So there's no way that you can really go there and start to get your things together. Yeah, exactly. Because it's they don't give you that opportunity.
No, because you're always focused in another direction of defending something that is just absolutely just beyond.
It's insanity. Yeah, insanity. Yeah, and the things that are going on are like literally you can't script it. It's just there's so bizarre.
You would have to be there to see it because it's so unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And day after day when you're subjected to this kind of thing. I think that it's safe to say, and it's not a weakness. I mean, I know after 3 years on the street,
your mental health gets run down so bad that you start get physically ill.
Absolutely, you know? And I mean, you're also you're outside every day.
Yeah.
So I mean, why is it that you lost your place this time? What happened?
Okay, how we ended up in the street in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not the first time that you ended up in the street. I mean, that's a bit of a longer story.
Oh,
but
we got housing.
You got housed there after 4 years. You're on the street.
Yeah.
Then you got housed during the housing initiative at Topaz.
We were staying, at Topaz when they were doing that.
The tent city.
Yeah, right.
And then you got into
Comfort Inn. Yeah.
It's the Our Place side, the Menzies Place side, the Our Place side.
No, I got into the Comfort Inn, the main building.
The tower, or yeah,
the
main building. Okay, Muncie Place. Okay,
yeah,
Our Place aside. So you guys got in there, and then what happened?
Things were okay. They were okay. What ended up happening is I ended up getting I have, which is my disability. I had a major attack on my back. I was totally, completely debilitated for a good 3 months. I was in a scooter chair.
Yep.
I couldn't hardly walk. I was in and out of the hospitals.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And so within that slowed me right down from the process of I needed to go back to school because I wanted to get a ticket for a few things so I can go, ahead. And
so you have hopes and dreams of improving your life and getting back to like a normal life.
Yeah, and it's not even hopes and dreams. It's not even that. It's graspable. It's actually where I am intending on going. But you can't get there when you have no door that you can shut behind that's yours.
Exactly. You're out here by yourself right now. Like I mean, I seen you in the parking lot. If I didn't see your dog there. What's your dog's name?
Scooby-Doo,
yeah. Yeah. If I didn't see Scooby-Doo, and Scooby-Doo's when you're... How old is Scooby-Doo?
He's 11.
And what kind of dog is he?
He's a Jack Russell wiry-haired terrier.
He's just this little guy.
Yeah.
And he's fierce, and he's awesome, and he's a good little warrior. I think he's been protected, you probably were.
A lot.
Yeah, for sure. So thanks, Scooby-Doo. But if I hadn't, I just seen Scooby-Doo over here and walking past you guys, here you are, you're in the corner in front of the hidden away, in front of the wet corner of a sidewalk, kind of hidden away from the rain and stuff like that. And if I hadn't seen Scooby-Doo, I wouldn't have seen you. And I mean, this is how you live every day.
Yeah.
You're out here every day. So I mean, there's just no way that a person can get it together enough to go and do the things that you want to do. And even though you have the ambition and you still have the drive to do that,
which I have. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have people in these areas, like for example in the Comfort Inn. I mean, the director there, the woman that is the head director, Courtney is her name. She has got, for whatever reason, doesn't like me. And the sad thing is that when you go to work, I mean, I've never met the woman beforehand. I've never had an issue even when I was there.
Right.
When you're working with people and you're working in places like that in hindsight, general public, you have to leave whatever kind of animosity you have.
You have a little bit of patience and now, check this stuff, your personal stuff at the door.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. And
tough job to do.
Well, not really. I mean, it's your
a high
job.
Calling. I believe it's a high calling, the outreach, the position. And I don't agree with what happened to Leah. Like, let's go more into the story. Just, trust me, I'm not sticking up for anybody who's
not
doing
their job. No, don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is I don't get me wrong. I do. It's a high stress job. It's a lot to handle. But the ones that are high stress and that are having...
Take a day off.
No, keep those away from the ones that are coming, like myself, and saying, okay, so can you, provide me with the information I need and help me,
Maybe take them off the front line for the day, give them whatever
instead,
job.
Instead, the ones
have
that
them,
are
have
the
them snap. Yeah, it's a good suggestion, and I mean, that's a workable suggestion, and that's from the people that are the clients. I mean, you have to listen to your clients sometimes, too.
Yeah.
I just want to go into the story a little bit more about, so what happened? There was a fire.
There was a fire in my room. Yeah. So there was a wire fire.
okay, there's a wire fire, and that's what you told me that the fire department has determined and told you that it was not your fault.
Yeah.
They believe that it was your fault.
Who does?
Our place, or they don't?
Well, the department, fire department. First off, I wasn't even in my room when the fire had.
Okay. So why did you get kicked out then?
That's what I was asking, and they truthfully. All she said to me was that, word for word, there was no answer other than, I've got a temporary suspension, give it 2 months, when your room is done, and you'll be able to come back in.
Okay, so now it's been 6 months.
Yeah, and I've been kicked off the property. I've been told I can't be in the building.
And you're literally walking around doing circles around the building for the last 6 months waiting to get back in.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because you have nothing else.
Yeah, and I said, then please do your job. And what about, get proper housing for me.
What about food? Like, I mean, like you're forced to do things. I mean, what do you do?
I pretty much don't eat. I want to take care of Scooby first, so he eats before me. And then when I have money, I live out of the dollar store.
Yeah, exactly, right? And this is pretty much where you get your sustenance from, is the dollar store. So chips, yeah, and peanut butter and, you know, all sorts of unhealthy kind of really stuff that's not really, you know, nutritious for you. I mean, it just keeps you alive, but it's not really,
yeah,
you know, it's not really what you should be feeling.
For all the things that you have to go through in a day to make sure that you have safety at night, so you're fed, that Scooby's taken care of, that we're safe somewhere. It's a daily process to make sure at nighttime, the process that I have to take to go through, it diverts me from what I need to do to go in to get, you know, an apartment for rent. And now with all the stigma and all of this crap that's around me, I just recently went in to a couple of few apartments to go, because there was vacancies. And, you know, before I even could get through the door, there was somebody in there telling them not to rent to me.
Right, right.
I mean,
because you don't have a place to go clean up before you go look at these places. You're going there as
well. I
don't
go looking like this. Believe me, I always
go. You try your best, right? I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
But I'm not. I don't go in looking, you know.
Well, I'm not. There's no judgment. I'm Leah.
But still,
you're beautiful. You're a beautiful girl anyway. So, you know, I think if I had a place, I'd rent it to you, no problem. I'd be happy to rent it to you. Unfortunately, there's not enough people who think like me out there. I wish that there was more people out there that could see that how badly you need a place.
Yeah.
And that would be the judgment of the call they gave it. I mean, that's what really needs to be done.
And getting back to, you know, the very beginning when we were living in a house, we were renting a house, and me and my boyfriend, and we needed another renter. And I interviewed him and everything was fine. Paid the first month's rent, the damage deposit, and come the second month, nothing. Third month, nothing. So we were held with a $2,600 rent bill, plus hydro, water, garbage, everything. So it got to the point where we were kicked out at a short of $400. And then, you know, we were looked at as the ones, like, irresponsible when
you're doing everything.
The truth was we were the ones housing the people downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
They still got to live there, and then they ruined the place. They just absolutely destroyed the place. You know,
it's almost karma for the landlord. So, just going back to our place after this fire. So you get kicked out. Now you're basically kind of staying around the building because you feel safest there. Your boyfriend is still inside there.
Yeah. And that's another thing. When these were put in place for us. Couples were given two rooms, and
right,
the very reason for those couples is Reverend Al.
Mm-hmm.
Was the ones actually, from what my understanding and from talking to him, he actually had put his own money in,
mm-hmm,
to buy the hotel.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
And
yeah,
he donated it, but in with criteria that, you know, the rules that are set around, that are set in place, that he would like to have kept for certain reasons. And one of them was the couples get a room each. And that way, if anything happens and one of the couples are kicked out of the room,
mm-hmm,
that there would be a room that they would be able to go and live into.
Sure.
And they have done nothing in
so,
source
yeah, because,
of that.
Because of the no visitor rule now, Kelly can't have you in his room, so you can't be safe.
Well, I was already... See, that's the thing, is I was already in there. So I should have been able to go into where he was.
Right. right. I mean, so they didn't actually give you an official reason why they kicked you out. It was just kind of a, things aren't going too well. Come back in 2 months when your room's done, and we'll reevaluate then. So now it's been 6 months, and you still haven't been back.
And not only that, they haven't even taken steps to get me into another...
shelter.
Well, not a shelter, but another BC housing, because that's what they're...
Right. You're still in the list, actually. You know,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
I can check into that, actually, for you. You have to make sure that you're still on the list.
Three of them in the last, I think, 3-4 months.
Okay, you know? Well, then that's a thing that right now where there's, I guess, some ironing out to do with how they're going to operate like this. I know that they have policies. Talking to some of the people from BC Housing and hearing from them, I know that they have some policies for a person like yourself that you won't lose your housing, that you won't lose your place in line. So you should still be good, and there should be still something coming up. Hopefully, this is something that we could look into, and maybe you could luck out.
It should have been instantaneously.
I agree. They should have given you some sort of option. If they said, "Well, here's not the place for you," then they should have said, "We could put you
over
here."
At the Howard Johnson,
right?
Or,
exactly, giving you an alternative. Exactly.
And
not just sending you off down the road. Now the thing is that they see you walking around, and I mean, it's been 6 months now that you've been kind of hanging around the building, kind of waiting to go back inside. Which is just absolutely it makes no sense whatsoever. It's infuriating. And what for a night for you? Like, I mean, is there predators? I mean, do guys, like, you know, what's it like to, how do you keep safe?
I try to stay in places like this.
You just try and stay closer to the bridge of the building?
No, I usually go as far away as I can into a small, confined
little spot,
dark area where I'm not seen.
Jesus. So that must be like, I mean, you're in like the cold, wet, dark spots, and...
Well, I don't feel
safe. Because you're 5'2", 120 pounds, and you know...
I don't feel safe out in the open, because if I am, then that's when predatorial, you know...
Yeah, that's when the creeps come out of the woodwork, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what about... What's their response to that? I mean, they know that...
I don't think it really bothers them. If it bothered them, then in my eyes, their job, they would have been able to get... me into another placement. I mean, they've got the Harold Johnson, they got City Center, they got Paul's Motor Inn. I mean,
yeah,
there's empty room everywhere.
They're just the fact that they're taking someone like that's in your position, and they know that you know, they if they know the long-term homeless people here in Victoria, right? I mean, you've been on the street 4 years. They know, and if you think that someone's going to be out here for 4 years, 6 years, this type of thing, living outside, and they're going to be completely...
shunned from everything.
Well, just like they're going to be just like as normal as your uncle Bob or Auntie, Betty or whatever, when coming over for dinner. It's just not going to be that way. People aren't going to act like human beings when they've been treated like animals for such a long time.
Yeah.
So you can't expect people to just change overnight when they come through through the door. Right? It's just not going to happen. It's not McJoe Citizen. You know, it's not going to happen. So if these people who are in these positions and taking these jobs, they need to have the training to understand that they're going to have to deal with sometimes high problem people.
Right, but they should be able to define the difference between someone that can handle and be... myself, I conduct myself very respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very well spoken.
Yeah,
I'm not uneducated.
No,
you know,
exactly. I think anybody can tell from hearing this interview that you're you sound like a very... decent, normal person. And I mean, here you have, if you saw the person I was looking at, and honestly, they that just, it's just, you look like a little teddy bear. You're that cute, but I mean, it's like a tattered, kind of raggy teddy bear, and that's just that, you know, that you would honestly just want to pick up, brush off, and put somewhere safe. You know, it's so, and this is what that you know, you have to go through every night. You know, this is just one night for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you have to go through this. You know, I've been thinking about you. I'm going to do my best to try and get you inside. In fact, if you want to come over with me to the comfort room right now, I can try and... There's the workers that I introduced to you the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just try and say, she's still out here, guys. Like, she's still sitting here. This hasn't changed. She's still in the same spot.
Yeah.
I think they're guilty sometimes of forgetting that and getting lost in their own lives, just like everybody can be. And as long as we remind them and keep on top of them, hopefully that'll light a fire under your ass, because we gotta get you indoors. That's
okay.
For sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Leah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm just sitting here with my buddy Roxanne, and we're just at the building that we live in, and I'm just going to get Roxanne's thoughts on just a few things. Roxanne, I just have some basic questions. What describe in one word what your transition has been like into housing, and why?
What's my transition been? Yeah. Like, there hasn't been a transition. I'm still a drug addict. They don't make me do anything. They just pump me for four more drugs.
So you basically, I guess in one word, you would say unfulfilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and
because,
so
I mean, I don't want to be a drug addict. I like it, obviously, but that's not what I want to grow up and be.
Of course. Absolutely.
No. And I think that this is supposed to help people, or it should be here to help people, and it doesn't. Unless you reach out yourself and ask for the help. I think it should be mandatory.
Absolutely,
that you have that you have to go and see a counselor or something.
I'm not saying that absolutely it should be mandatory, but it should definitely be offered.
I personally think it should be mandatory.
Is like it offered right now? Do you find anything in your building right now where
well, yeah, there's things on the wall that say, oh, if you want to talk to a counselor or the umbrella staff or whatever, but like, I mean, every person in here has an addiction of some sort.
Right.
So they should have to talk to a counselor about something to prosper, to get better and to move on and get the fuck up out of here.
I agree.
So that we're not staying here getting Dilaudids from the doctor.
Right. So basically, so you can enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Have a better life.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So that's what you're actually after is a better life. So you would like to get your addiction under control so you can enjoy your life, quality of life. And there's nothing really that you see here that offers that.
Well, they do, but you have to like be the one to go after it. Like, they don't make you do it.
Okay,
like,
so there's no real...
Like, they shouldn't make you do it, but I think that you should have like a once a week, once a month, whatever,
counselor.
Like counselor that you have to go talk to.
I agree.
Whether it's about drugs or just about your problems or whatever,
I agree,
anything,
it's a great idea.
Whether it's negative or positive.
When you came in from outside, did you expect that to be an offer? Were you waiting for a chance to get better and get cured, in a sense?
Well, the reason I went to Topaz was because, honestly, I was never really homeless.
Right. Okay.
COVID came. My sister has kids. I didn't want to get my sister's kids sick.
Okay.
So I took the option of, because I'm a drug addict.
Right.
And I didn't want to be in and out of the house. And she wouldn't allow me to be in and out of the house.
Right.
With the kids, because she's got multiple children.
Right.
And so I seen Topaz was there and they're putting people in hotels. Well, fuck, I'm going to jump on it, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to
yeah.
play the system.
Right. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. But you were facing homelessness at the time. Because you were staying at your sister's,
I moved here to stay at my sister's to get better.
Yeah.
To get better. Yeah.
Okay. So, you were going through the throes of homelessness, anyways. It was something that was going to be coming down the pike. Really, through the transitions of homelessness, this is usually the things that happen, right? Just it was a good option for you. It was good that you didn't have to go through the street to get here. You know
exactly. Like a lot of people actually did live on the street for years, and
right.
Thank God for them because they made this possible for me to be here, not have to live on the street
I think a lot of them would be they would have mixed emotions about hearing that, but I think that some of them would think that they're noble enough.
It sounds rude of me to say it, but I mean,
no,
I'm just
actually
being honest.
I think it's almost giving them a nod. And
like,
and,
I mean, I appreciate the fact that they. Well, I mean,
there's a lot of people who fought. There's a lot of people who fought really hard to get people into positions that they're now currently in, and they don't have to. And I think that anybody who knows out there from the Victoria Street community would gratitude. I know the guys out there would honestly give up their spot just to hear that. So I think that's a nod of gratitude in a sense. You know, you're telling the truth.
I'm a very blunt person. I'm
like
very
that.
Honest.
That's good.
And
I'm
like,
as well.
I don't think before I speak ever. It's
bad
thing because everything just comes out.
Well, that's it's good for
it's
for
good,
the
but
truth.
It's bad.
At least you know.
I mean, I say things all the time that I shouldn't say.
Well, I hope you're not
it gets
doing that
me
right
in
now. Okay, well, you're not doing that right now. I'm not going to ask any questions that are going to get you in trouble. Okay, so do you? Are you a user? Do you want to talk about anything like that? You obviously you had an addiction. Do you use the Safe Supply sites, or do you use you obviously know about Safe Supply? Do you use the Safe Injection site, or
I actually do the peer witnessing every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've seen your name up.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Yes.
So you run so basically, if someone doesn't want to use a loan, they can come to you and say, "Hey, man, I want to fix it."
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool.
I've been doing it since it started. I wonder how many people have come to me?
How many?
None.
Wow.
None.
Wow.
And you know what Umbrella told me to do?
What's that?
Lie.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. They told me to just say something on the sheet.
Well, maybe.
So what I write on the sheet is what I use out of the bucket.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm not lying, but I'm not telling the truth either. There's not somebody coming to my door asking for it. It's what I'm using.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I personally think they're doing it so they can keep track of how much I'm personally using myself. Because okay. I think that everybody is in on some fucking giant conspiracy. I know it sounds crazy.
Right.
And like, why me? I don't know.
So this is how your safety in the building. This is how you feel, your safety in the building. How do you feel about that?
I feel, like I said, I feel like there's a conspiracy and like almost everybody is against me.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't like say it, like they keep back from saying it, like I mean, right. But that being said, I feel safe in my room.
That's good.
Like, I mean, my boyfriend doesn't, he barricades the door every single time he comes in, like goes in his room. He seems to think people are coming through the fucking walls and through, like, it's just outrageous, man. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. But like, I do believe that they go into your room when you're not there. I know they go into your room when you're not there.
They do, yeah.
But they touch your things. They go through your things. When there was a fire in this part, there was no fire in this part. The water sprinklers never went off. I would know this because my dad died, and they moved my stuff from over here, from this to the main part of the building, and the sprinklers never went off in my room, because when I came back, there was no water damage to any of my shit. No, not my cereal boxes, nothing.
Right.
They pick and chose what they went through and brought over to the other room. Like, my bathroom supplies, they took some of them, but not all of them.
Yeah.
They took some of my clothes, but not all of them. They took some of this, but not all. Like, if you're going to take some of my stuff over there, take it all. Don't pick and choose. Don't go through my shit like that.
So you're
$100 went missing out of my room.
Yes.
They go in my room and they,
I know that Melvin.
They go through my stuff. My neighbor knew something that was in my. She's never been in my room, but she knew something that was in my room.
Right. So you know,
when I came back to the building, she wasn't in her room for like 3 fucking months, man. Wow. And all of a sudden, boof, she's back again.
So there's some definitely questions about how things are going here for
absolutely.
Safety. But Roxanne, I just want to say, honestly, thank you for doing this interview with me. I really appreciate it. And I hope that you feel awesome and safe. And I hope things will get better for you, man. And you're a great, great girl. So thumbs up. Thanks for being on.
I'm too honest, honestly.
Predators go in there and the women
that's
get
what I heard
nonstop.
Too. That's what I heard
okay,
too.
Okay, so Dominique, what did you have to say there?
A lot of women don't go into the shelters because the shelters aren't good for women to go into. Like,
why?
They're just not. There's a lot of predators there. A lot of women get attacked and bullied.
In the shelters?
In the shelters, yeah. It
from
happens
who?
All the time. From other people in the shelters, usually.
Right.
And it's just, yeah. It's
so
just
other
a bad
women preying on other women?
No, other men.
Preying on women in the shelters?
Preying on women in the shelters.
Like waiting outside for them and wait? Or?
Well, no, inside the shelters.
Always hitting on them, harassing them.
That's Rock Bay Landing, all those places.
Yeah,
I know. Actually, one of my friends, she was on the streets and she was offered a place at Rock Bay like for 6 months and wouldn't take it until she had a boyfriend that would stay there with her, so that you know she could sleep
harassed.
Comfortably.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah, if you're single and female,
that's
a lot of women I know prefer to stay on the street.
All female shelter, like San Aaron's not big enough.
So there you have it, wonderful ladies. I'm still sitting in Colin's place, and I'm gonna go blockade the Johnson Street Bridge by myself. Wish me luck. I'm negotiating right now, and we'll see what happens. 5:00 p.m. I'm asking for a media release and some support. Flowers and fish heads. Flowers go to Vic's PD right now for good negotiating tactics and skills. And fish heads go to Colin and Bilo. Fucking NIMBYs. Out. Oh.